I wanted to talk a little bit about fatality prevention and how specifically how our company is dealing with that or handling it and what our focus has been. It may not be different from what some of you may be doing as well, but you may hear some things that maybe give you a little bit different perspective and some ideas on how you might handle it yourselves. Okay, so within the mining industry, you know, over the years we've seen a decline in fatalities and the rate of fatalities, but in the last several years that rate has actually flattened, and we see this within our organization as well. Even though our performance in terms of total reportable injury rate continues to decline, and as you can see, you know, in mining overall, we're actually doing a lot better than other industries, even some that service industries, in terms of our total reportable injury rate. Our fatality rate is still flattened. And so as an organization, Freeport-McMoRan actually decided several years ago that we really needed to look at fatality prevention and maybe start focusing more effort there. And not necessarily forget about or not try to still decline our TRIR rate, but to try to get our focus of most of our efforts in terms of fatalities and how we prevent those. And so most of you, or if not all, are probably familiar with the Heinrich Pyramid. This is, you know, what we look at in terms of injury rates, and this has been studied over the years by other philosophers as well as Heinrich, in showing that, you know, more near misses, you actually have a big base of near misses that occur, and less serious incidents, and that if we can track those and we can get information around those, we can actually start to reduce the rate of those more serious incidents like reportables and fatalities. What we're finding, and not just in Freeport as a mining industry, we're really finding that this pyramid works in terms of everything up into the lost time. So if we were to study our near misses and get proactive and try to put systems in place, we can prevent some of those more serious reportable type incidents. But for our fatalities, we actually believe that there's some other indications that we don't necessarily get a lot of time ahead, or we don't get a lot of near misses reported that help us with those serious incidents. So we have what would be precursors or single events that can lead right to a fatality. And so if you think of that in terms of like a haul truck goes over a dump, we don't have many near misses that occur with that. Typically, that type of incident becomes a fatality, or at a minimum, it's a very serious incident. And so what we need to do as an organization, and what we've been doing, is trying to figure out what are these precursors, what are those things that we can look at proactively to try to help us prevent those serious incidents and improve our fatality rate. So just a few of the things I'm going to talk about. We'll get into some specifics on each of these, but these are some of the things that we are doing as a company that I thought I'd share with you, just to give you some ideas and insight into what we're doing. Again, it may not be much different than what some other companies are doing, but it really is working for us, or we feel it is. We have what we call potentially fatal event alerts that we send out to whenever we have a serious incident occur. This is something that we hadn't always done, but about 2008, in that time frame, we started sending these out to get notification to all sites. So if we have something serious occur, within 24 to 48 hours, we try to send this information out so that we can prevent a similar occurrence. In addition to that, we ask that people then go audit their areas and use this as a communication tool with their teams. We've been looking at global significant risks, so things like confined space, working at heights, lockout, tagout, those type of systems. And we've actually been developing policies that, and if we look at our safety system, we're a fairly large company across several countries, and we don't have one safety process or program that is it's used consistently everywhere. But we do have things that we put in place, such as these global risk policies, where we say this is the minimum standard. How you apply that and what you do out in the field is up to you, your culture, your site, and how you individually want to manage it. But these are set as minimum standards. And we've actually been bringing teams of subject matter experts. So they're not just safety professionals. We've got some of the leadership, but operations, maintenance employees that actually do the work that are coming in to help us develop these. And they're actually catching some things that, you know, we've always thought we were doing things a certain way, and the guys in the field say, it doesn't always happen that way. I know you think that's what we're doing, and that's what the policy says, but we can't do it, and here's the reasons why. So we try to work through those barriers, and then where we can't work through that barrier, then we try to look at how do we put other controls in place that can assist us. And then we develop some standardized training around those various global risks. And we have about 21 of them across the company that affect most or all of our operations. We recently put together some training, a fatality prevention training, where we've taken our leaders through a two-day session to go through various topics in our fatality prevention process, and we're currently rolling out an employee version. We're doing some things to get employees excited about coming by giving them hard hat stickers. We're putting some posters out. And then we'll be using this kind of campaign to run to remind them of the different things that they learn in training as they go out in the field. The training is actually very little PowerPoint. It's typically one or two PowerPoint slides, and the rest of that module or that part of the session is actually hands-on, people working through real problems, real things, real issues that we have in the company, real incidents that we've had, and they work through and troubleshoot, and we go through that in training so that it helps them be more effective and more successful out in the field. And this is just one of the posters that we're using on the campaign. We'll be doing various posters with employees, real employees of different sites, talking about their experience with the training or what they're doing in terms of fatality prevention. And that also is being led by leaders across the company. So it's not just not training or not the training department, not just safety professionals, but our leaders are getting out and giving that training to their employees. Then we're putting together a toolkit. These are some things that we've come along from the training, some audit tools, field booklets that they can use based on some of the critical controls, our global risks, and those type of things. And then we're also looking at what are other sites doing. As I said, we don't have a cookie cutter approach to safety. So some sites have developed things that are really working well for them in terms of fatality prevention. And so we're sharing those with other sites. And as we go out and find gaps, we use those different processes to help fill those. This is one that one of our operations put together, and it's actually employees that are doing this, which I think is a big key to our success, is that we have employee involvement in all of these processes. So they came up with what are their global risks. They call them gators. And then they develop these tools that talk about what are the critical controls, the things that need to be in place to prevent an incident, some audit questions that they can use out in the field. And then I really like this part where they develop a story. They talk about an incident that they either were involved in or that, you know, they lost a friend at some point in the mining industry from an incident that occurred by not following procedures. And so it helps employees kind of tie it to why we need to do it. And then they use these same things in there. Sorry, I'm pushing wrong buttons here. I don't know how to go back now. There we go. So they use these same little markings in their SOPs and their field sheets so that they can, it clues them into what some of those key hazards are for those tasks. And then we're doing quite a bit around critical control improvement. We, you know, recognize we have controls in place for all of our significant risks or fatal risks, but a lot of times those are heavily dependent on behavior. So we're working to try to build reliability into those controls, trying to not rely on PPE and administrative controls for everything, and really trying to implement that. So I wanted to share with you a few of those that we're working or we either have in place or working on. This is something that some of you are probably familiar with, our DSS system, where we have seeing eye machines in the haul trucks that help with driver fatigue. So if a driver's falling asleep or gets distracted, it shakes the seat and also gives an indication to the dispatcher so that we can intervene. We're doing quite a bit around our heavy immobile equipment. We're looking at our cue points, our line out areas, making sure that we're keeping pedestrians and light vehicles away from the heavy equipment. This is just one example, actually my favorite at our Safford mine, where we keep that interaction and keep those folks out of the line of fire there from haul trucks. This is something we've done in our crushers. Crusher maintenance can be have quite a few significant risks involved. This particular job has open hole, confined space, working at height, lotto. This one we actually have started, we've built these drop-in work platforms so that we don't have to rely on PPE and the proper use of that PPE. This one's just a simple example of where we had an issue or concern with H2S gas in one of our moly plants, and instead of an operator having to put on a respirator to open up this window, this viewpoint, we've put in these wipers so that we can clean those windows, keep them clean, and they don't have to open them. So simple fixes, and this one came from employees in the field. Their idea. We're doing quite a bit with remote racking and switching on our electrical systems, keeping people out of the line of fire. These are some robots that we're kind of testing out with our changing out of our haul truck tires and the rims on our haul truck tires to keep people out of that line of fire as well. And then we've got a process where we're, just like our potentially fatal event alerts, we're asking the sites to share their critical control upgrade. So as one site develops it, you know, I don't go to Morenci and hear Morenci say, hey, we've got this great new work platform that we're using when we're changing out conveyor belt. Why isn't anybody else using it? And I said, well, have you told anybody else? Well, I guess we haven't. So if they don't know, what do they say? How do they know? And who would have told them, right? So we're putting this process in place where we can share all of these controls, and it's a one-stop shop where you can go look at what sites are doing, and there's a contact number there so you can get information to implement it at your site. And then we're doing quite a bit this year, and we'll be doing more next year in trying to look at leading indicators or metrics that we can start looking at the health of our safety process and how well are we doing with fatality prevention in particular. So rather than just looking through the rearview mirror at our TRIR, we want to know how are our audits doing, what are we finding on our audits, and what controls or how often are we upgrading our critical controls. And then we're working towards a database system where we will put all the information we've already collected on our risks and our high-risk tasks, what those controls should be. We'll have a dashboard for our leaders so that they're able to kind of look at where they are, the profile of their risk, the risk at their site. So, you know, if I look at where it is today, the red being those high-risk areas, and where I was 6 months ago, am I seeing improvement? Do I have some areas where I need to go audit? How do I know how frequently to audit? If I've got jobs that rely heavily on behavioral controls like PPE, then the system's gonna tell me you probably wanna audit that more frequently than something that has an engineered control. So we're working towards that in 2016. I talked about some of these. In addition, it'll give us that the employees will have a checklist that they can use before they go and do the work to evaluate, is that critical control in place? If it's not, then I need to stop work and reassess, get another control, or get some help from a leader if I need it to put that control in. And then as well as the auditing, and we'll be able to start tracking and trending some of our process. So just in conclusion, you know, a lot of our serious incidents, at least in our company, I know, they happen with known risk. They're not things that we say, wow, I didn't know about this, or how did we miss it? We usually know that risk is there, and we have a control in place, or we thought we did, right? So we established a control for that risk. It should have been in use, and it either wasn't in use or somebody wasn't using it effectively. The other thing we recognize is that in addition to that, oftentimes, we have fatalities because a new hazard was introduced and nobody recognized it. So, you know, ensuring that employees know what the risk is, how they control that risk, and then what to do if that control isn't there, how to get help or how to get to put in another control. And then involving employees in the process, making sure they're part of the solutions, that helps drive them to buy into the whole process. And usually they're the ones that know, like I said, with our global risks, they're gonna tell us where something doesn't work and why they aren't using it, and help us find a solution that is effective. So focusing on those significant risks and the controls to those risks will help us prevent fatalities. So I'm ready to take any questions you might have or comments, other ideas.
Do you have an open forum to where you share information with other mine sites, or is this something specific to Freeport?
We are members with various organizations, NMA, the core safety group there, and we also meet with various other mining organizations on a less formal basis, but we are open to that. If you know, we always say with safety, there's nothing proprietary, so you know, if it works for us and it'll work for you, we want to share it, and we don't have a problem doing that. Okay, thank you. All right. Thank you.